Trick or Treat purchased on February 10th. So, this trade, the Wild acquire Galchenyuk, Callan Addison prospects, and a conditional first-round pick. The conditions are if Pittsburgh misses the playoffs, they have the option to send their 2021 first-rounder. And then, obviously, the Penguins acquired Zucker, who's on a great deal for $5.5 million. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, so for this trade, it signifies that the Pittsburgh Penguins are going all in this season. I think that's very smart. Well,
yeah, more than just this season, right?
Yeah, that's the great thing about a player like Zucker is because they have him, I think it's for like three more seasons. So Zucker can definitely be a big part of multiple playoff runs. And if you're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, hopefully multiple Stanley Cups. And that's a big part of his value. That's why they were willing to part ways with Addison and a first-round pick to make that deal happen. Zucker's a speedy winger. He adds a lot of play-driving ability, and he's shown himself to be a goal scorer in the past. So we'll see how he does in Pittsburgh, but I definitely think he's a good player and a good fit.
Yeah, and some people didn't really like this deal for Pittsburgh, but I'm definitely on it for Pittsburgh. I think the Wild got some good assets as well, for sure. But, I mean, a late first-round pick, if you know the Penguins are going to be doing well this year, I think they're a great team. I think they can make it pretty far. And a late first-round pick is not worth much at all. It's a very overvalued asset. And then the second thing I want to point out is Crosby and Malkin, obviously their core, they're starting to get into their mid-30s sooner rather than later, right?
Yeah.
And they got to compete now. Like, what else would they do, right?
Yeah, that's why, like, philosophically, I like this move for the Penguins because it signifies that they want to keep winning as long as they still have Sid and Gino.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, you're just going to wait on a first-round pick, which will take, 3 years to be an actual player in the NHL, if that even happens, if you're lucky. So, yeah, I think I give Pittsburgh the win on this since Zucker is a pretty undervalued player on the market.
Yeah, but I'd say it could become a good deal for Minnesota just depending on how Addison develops.
Yeah, and I guess if they draft really well and stuff, like, it could be a great first-round pick for them. But
yeah, I think it's definitely a win for the Penguins, I would say, and it can become a win for the Wild.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess if the first-round pick, the chance of him being as good as Zucker is really low, right?
So yeah, that's why. Not great.
That's basically why I give it to the Pens for now. So,
yeah, because there's like a 50-50 chance that guy doesn't even become an NHLer. Like, I did some research on this. There's about a 50% chance that that first round pick will never become a full time NHLer. When you talk about a late first round pick.
Yeah, for sure. So actually, the next trade after this is a terrible trade for the Islanders in Andy Green for a second-round pick, and David Quinville. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, so I really like it for the Devils, because the Devils this season, they were trying to go for a little compete to try and convince Taylor Hall to stay. When that failed, rebuild was the clear way to go. So they trade their veteran captain, who's a defenseman who's mediocre at best, if I'm going to be honest, for a second-round pick and a prospect who could possibly be something. And he's up there in age. You're not going to get a lot for a player like that. That was definitely going to be the most they were going to get. So I definitely like that for the Devils. As for the Islanders, I mean, they're getting a defenseman who's not all that great. I don't really see how he fits.
He's 37.
Yeah, he's not great. He's up there in age. I don't really see how he fits. I don't really like the deal for the Islanders.
Yeah, I really don't like it for them. This is just based on age and all the other factors.
I think it's just a Lou Lamoriello thing. Lou wanted him back.
Yeah, definitely connections have something to do with that. And that's not the way you want to run an NHL team, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to run anything just because of connections, right?
Yeah.
We'll move on. We're getting too much into Andy Green talk. Not a big deal there. But the next one is our favorites, Blake Coleman for Nolan Foote and a 2020 conditional first. You're a Tampa fan. What do you think?
All right. This may be surprising, but I actually really like this trade for the Lightning. because it does a couple things. For one, I think Blake Coleman's one of the most underrated players in the league. He's elite defensively. He's a positive on offense. He can score goals. He can kill penalties. He can fit on any line. Love Coleman. And the great thing about him is he's signed for next season as well. He's not a rental. And he signed for next season for really
$1.8 million. Unreal. Yeah. So I just want to say before you keep going, Dom Lyshyshyn's cap model has him at $8.18 million, like market value, which is such a steal. Wow.
Yeah, he's making so much less than that. And that's a great thing because this summer the Lightning are going to inevitably trade Alex Killorn. When that happens, it's good to have a winger like Blake Coleman who could sort of ease the blow of losing a player like that.
Well, you hope so, eh?
Yeah, and so far in two games for the Lightning, Coleman has looked good, in my opinion. As for the Devils, they got a lot of value for him. I can't see this trade as anything other than win-win. I'm not a fan of Nolan Foote as a prospect, but still, the Devils got basically two elite first-round picks.
I didn't know the Devils had anything much they could do. I think they got good value. I think Coleman is worth more than what they got, but I guess there's nothing you can do when a player is just underrated overall in the market.
Yeah, and that's the tough part of that for New Jersey.
So you also forgot to mention the biggest flaws I found with Tampa, and there's very few of these, right, is their penalty kill is just above average, and as well as their goaltending is just above average. So Coleman is actually in the 97th percentile of penalty kill goals above replacement, which is obviously top of the league. So he might be able to help it a lot there.
Yeah, that's another important thing with him. And like Killorn is one of our top penalty killers. When he's gone over the summer for next season, Coleman's going to need to step up in that penalty kill role, and I think he very easily can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is an unreal deal for Tampa. And I can't exaggerate that enough.
Yeah, a lot of mainstream fans are underrating Coleman. I think they're going to come around on him, though, when they see how well he plays for the Lightning on a deep playoff run.
And I think they're overrating a late first-round pick, too, right?
Yeah. That
And that was Vancouver's pick, so I guess it might not be that late.
We don't know exactly how good Vancouver's going to be, but they did not trade for Tyson Barrie, so that should help them.
It should. Yeah, we'll get to that later. Tyler Toffoli was acquired by Vancouver, speaking of the Canucks, for a second-round pick, conditional fourth, Tyler Madden and Tim Schaller. And the conditions, I always like these conditions. It's if Toffoli resigns. I think GMs don't do these type of conditions if they resign sort of type enough.
Yeah.
So I like that for the Kings there.
Yeah, so I mean the Kings are obviously rebuilding, right? So this is a clear rebuild move. They're sending out a top six winger and Toffoli for futures. But these
really
could
solid
be something.
Player for sure.
Yeah, but the Kings went the quantity route, so they're getting the pick and a guy like Madden. I like Madden as a prospect actually, so could be an interesting piece for the Kings in the future. The Kings have a really deep prospect pool. And they just add to it with this trade.
I think on Scott Wheeler's rankings, they're number one. I don't know if you know.
That wouldn't surprise me. I love their prospect pool. And then for Vancouver, they're seeing that the West, and especially the Pacific, is wide open this year. So they were trying to
make an upgrade, take
advantage. Yeah, the division sucks. If they play their cards right, they may have a free path to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and also Toffoli, I think he's a bit underrated overall because he's struggled with shooting percentage as much as the LA Kings team, I think, recently. So I think he can put up more goals because they were saying he is a goal scorer, and he has been.
Yeah, he has been in the past.
And hopefully he can get back to that for the Canucks' sake.
Yeah, he's been good for them so far as well. And I definitely don't think he's going to shoot at that low percentage he was the last couple of years. That's not going to last forever.
We know he can shoot better. Basically, yeah. There's like an AHL deal, Julien Gauthier for Joey Keane. I know Gauthier a little bit.
Yeah, Gauthier was a first round pick.
He has a good shot, but he's getting older.
He hasn't really developed.
Right.
That's probably a nothing trade.
Next up is an unreal deal for the Jets. This was my favorite player in the deadline. This is the player who I wanted my team to get. His name is Dylan DeMello. And so
yeah,
he was traded for a third-round pick.
Yeah, honestly, 29 NHL GMs should be kicking themselves for not trading more than that for Dylan DeMello, if I'm going to be completely honest. He's one of the most underrated defensemen in the entire league, I would say.
He might even be the most underrated. He has some unbelievable analytics. He's playing top 4 minutes on a bad team. And honestly, I think part of the reason the Sens are sort of competent is the fact that they have a player that's playing big minutes like Dylan DeMello, and he's lifting their weight, and he's dominating the other teams when he's on the ice.
Yeah, so last year DeMello struggled a little bit.
A little bit defensively, right?
His XGA was bad, but that's very not in line with his career norms. So that last year seems like the outlier. This year, he's playing even better than ever before, even better than he ever did in San Jose. His expected goal plus minus impact per 60, according to RIPM, is at plus .249. It's pretty crazy.
So, explain what that means for people who may not know.
So that means pretty much every 60 minutes that he plays, his team is a quarter of a goal better off than they would be if an average player was playing in his place. So that's pretty crazy. I'm going to pull up where that ranks among defensemen this year.
That'd be helpful. I'll just talk about basically he's expiring it in the summer. He's at a $900,000 contract, which is really good on its own. So his 3-season weighted expected GAR, his even strength offense and defense are pretty well above average. Offense is at 64%, so which is really good, and defense is at 80%, which is even better, I suppose.
Yeah, this is a guy who's an elite second pair guy and very playable on the first pair.
Yeah, and for sure.
I pulled him up. He's 12th in the league in expected goals plus minus impact, according to RIPM this season.
That's pretty massive, right? I will note and that...
Especially, the Jets' blue line sucks.
Yeah, it has to be the bottom five in the league with the likes of Detroit and stuff. I mean, just look at these guys. These guys are not good at all. Josh Morrissey has been hurt for half the year, so missing him too. I think he's day-to-day right now. Dylan DeMello, I think Jets fans and management deserve a little bit of happiness there with that trade. And Paul Maurice even said watching DeMello is like coach's porn, which is pretty funny.
Okay, so looking at Jets defensemen by that expected goals plus minus impact stat, not counting Carl Dahlstrom because he's only played 15 games, every single Jets defenseman is negative.
Not surprising.
It's Pionk, Kulikov, Spisa, Beaulieu, Betedo, Morrissey, and Tucker Pullman. Oh, that's not a good group.
All right, so I know the Jets are at the bottom of the league in terms of 5v5, I guess, out-chancing and out-shooting their competition. They have really struggled in that department, but I think Hellebuyck has been probably the Vezina number one this season.
Yeah,
and,
I'd give him the Vezina.
But I think there's more to it than just that. They really do seem to be still being able to win games while being this bad at 5v5. I don't really understand it. Some people
some shooting talent, guys.
They do
Patrick
have
Line shooting
talent. Is
always going to shoot above expected.
But if you look at their expected goals, there's nowhere near.
Yeah, their expected goals is atrocious.
I watch these games that Jets play, and they just get absolutely demolished at 5v5.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
I just
I think
don't understand
gets
it.
Whooped in a playoff series by pretty much anyone.
I could see that. Yeah, maybe. I really don't know what it is. I think some people are happy with the Paul Maurice extension, who's their coach, if you don't know.
Yeah.
it's just a weird one. Like, they are winning games and producing, but on the other side of things, they're not playing well enough, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's something deeper there. It's weird.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward, as a lot of their young guys require new contracts. So we'll see how the team building goes from here on out for the Jets. But at any rate, DeMelo's a great add to their blue line.
Yeah, 100%. And Ottawa gets a third-round pick, which is nice for them. They have a lot of picks now. But
they should have got a lot more.
They should have got a lot more. I guess, obviously, the market wasn't there. But I mean, easy Jets
way went. Worse defensemen who went for a lot more, though. Like,
yeah, but I guess
you're really telling me
Marcus GMs Scandella. Don't know that. That was the biggest joke.
Worth more. Telling me Andy Green is worth more. Come on.
Yeah, not a chance, right?
Yeah.
So our next deal is Brendan Dillon. So another guy who got more. Second-round pick and a conditional third. So the conditions are, if the Washington Capitals will win the Stanley Cup, the third will be... wait, sorry. It was a 2021 third-round pick and a second-round pick, and the 2021 third-round pick will become a 2020 third-round pick, Arizona's, that Washington previously acquired. So I guess if they win the Cup, the third-round pick is later. I didn't even have to note the conditions. There's nothing really meaningful. Dillon, he's a really good defensive defenseman.
Yeah.
Old-school kind of guy. He does put up good results in terms of limiting chances against and etc.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Dillon's game. I think he's a smart pickup for the Capitals. I mean, I don't really know why they were necessarily going for more defensemen in general, because they have a lot of them as is. But if you want to add defensive depth, Dillon is a good player to add in terms of just adding defensive value, which the Caps need.
It was pretty weird. They were even on the board to trade Nick Jensen, who was traded last deadline, I guess, which is odd.
Jensen's kind of struggled this year, which is a bit surprising, considering he's been a very good player in the past.
Yeah, last year he was, like, the top of the top. But, Dillon, I think he's a good add. I mean, obviously, if you're going deep in the playoffs, you need depth, and the Capitals definitely have depth on defense now.
Yeah, the Caps defensemen are an interesting situation anyway, because what's his name? That Czech dude who plays next to Carlson, Kempney. Like, Kempney's kind of, like, fallen off a cliff this year, which I really don't know why that is. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, the Capitals love these, like, sort of underrated defenseman kind of deals. You know, Nick Jensen, Kempney, Dillon.
Radko Gudas, too.
Yeah, Gudas, yeah. And he's on their third pair doing well. So, actually, right now they have Dillon on the top pair, which I don't know if he's quite a top pair guy, but
Dillon and Carlson. They like to mix and match their pairs.
And yeah.
Kempney's been with Carlson for most of this year, but that pair has been kind of disastrous in their own zone.
Yeah, they've had a good decor. Not amazing, but good decor.
Yeah, there's a lot of quality players there.
I think their power play and stuff makes up for it, for sure. We'll move on now. Yeah, talking about Scandella right here. Scandella retains. The St. Louis gets Scandella, $2 million retained for a second-round pick and a conditional fourth. I mean, great deal for Montreal, right?
Yeah, Montreal gets a really good return on Scandella. They didn't really give up much for him, if I recall.
Yeah, they gave up a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
I believe, yeah.
So, it's like, Scandella's actually played pretty okay this year, but he was a complete tire fire last year, and I can't get that out of my memory. And I don't really see how this is a fit for St. Louis anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many other defensemen they could have got for, like, nothing. That would have been the same, right? Moving on, a Leafs deal, which is always fun. Leafs acquired Dennis Malgin for Mason Marchment. I want to hear your thoughts because I think I've already expressed my thoughts. But what do you think?
Yeah, so with this deal, it's sort of a reclamation project on Malgin, who hasn't been quite as good lately as he was when he first came up. He's good defensively. His offensive value has plummeted. But I like Mason Marchment as prospect. I think he's got an NHL future. I think he could be a really solid bottom six contributor.
All right, so I think you're overstepping there. I think he's a fourth liner at best. He doesn't have the skating. I know he's gotten a lot better. Doesn't have the skating. He's really not an NHL player in the games he's played this year. I haven't noticed him at all. And he's a guy that you want to notice because he is big and he has been known for being a good gritty player, fourth line type, but he didn't do anything in NHL in his three games or whatever. And Malgin is 2 years younger. He's 23 and Marchment is 25, I believe. So I think this is just a steal for the Leafs. Not that it's going to move the needle or anything. It's literally like a fourth liner for a fourth liner kind of deal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's not too much to talk about there. I just don't understand why Florida would do this.
Because it just depends on how good you think Marchment's actually going to be.
He's already 25. So, I don't know.
Guys can still develop past that age. Like, Yanni Gord was that old when the Lightning called him up.
Well, you're not a prospect after 24, technically, so... I don't know if he's suiting in games now. Is he? I'll check their roster, their lineup. Hold up a minute. No, I don't even see him on the lineup here, which is odd.
He's probably playing in the minors.
Yeah, he might be. Anyways, next trade. Oh, so this is the Alex Martinez deal. The Knights acquire Martinez for a second-round pick of their own and second-round pick of St. Louis in 2021.
Overpay.
Overpay. Really?
You think overpay, it's overpay and a half for Alex Martinez, I would say. You're giving up two picks that could be decent value picks for a defenseman who has not shown himself to be very good.
Well, he's an all right sort of fourth defenseman kind of guy.
I don't know if I'd go that far, even fifth maybe.
I don't know. He's been on a pretty bad team. I think he can round it out a bit in Vegas. It's not like he's a player that looks like he's awful or anything. Not that I watch LA every day, but he looks like he's a good shot blocker,
but I don't really notice him in anything else.
Yeah, I don't even know if being a good shot blogger is anything of major value, to be honest. Yeah. But
Martinez is a good shot blogger, though.
So he might be good on the penalty kill. That could be. Is that something Vegas has struggled with? Do you know or no?
I don't know.
Yeah. So he does have 2 years left, which is important. At $4 million, which is. Well, technically not 2 years, but one full year and, like, guess now to the playoffs. $4 million is pretty expensive. So I was thinking his cap was more closer to three, but $4 million seems kind of like he's not even worth that at this point. And
yeah, I don't think he's worth that, and I also don't think he's worth two second-round picks.
Yeah, I guess if he's barely a number four, I don't know. That's definitely an overpay for cap hit and an overpay for what you're paying for him technically, but yeah, Kings get more picks. They're gonna improve their prospect system, which is already unbelievable.
Yeah, the Kings are loading themselves up for the future.
We'll move on here. I mean, Vegas seems to need defensemen. Sorry, and that's what they got. At least they got someone, I guess. Not that they need anyone, because I think they're a pretty good team overall. But, yeah. Yeah, there's a few AHL deals we won't even talk about. I don't even know some of these players. Huge deal over here, in my opinion, for the Boston Bruins. The Bruins acquire Kasha, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always say Case, but I guess that's just because it's easier. His cap it is 2.6 million, and he has a few years left on his deal, and he might be most underrated player in the league.
Yeah.
Forward. Tell me what you think about this deal.
Yeah, I think this is a massive steal for Boston, and I can't really look at it from any other angle because in the trade they dumped the salary of David Backes and gave up a first round pick and a prospect for Kasha in the process.
Yeah, and the
So
prospect is like a C-plus prospect at
yeah,
best, right?
and yeah, I would agree with that. And then for example, if we look at the Patrick Marleau trade from the offseason, a first round pick's about the going rate to dump that amount of salary for that amount of term. So you can
Well,
sort of think of
supposedly, yeah.
the pick as being to get rid of Backes, which means all they gave up for Kasha was Axel Anderson. That's a steal.
Yeah, I mean, Kasha, what has been talked about from him, he hasn't played over 60 games, and he's really struggled with injuries. I think he's had five concussions, which I just want to chime in here. I don't think you should be playing hockey if you have five concussions. There's been a lot of research on that. But anyways, I'll continue. He hasn't played over 60 games, so that was a big concern, which probably lowered the price on him. And I think it's a fair concern. But just given how excellent he has been, I'll just put out a few numbers here. 87th percentile in offense, 75th percentile in defense. And then right here is he has above average shooting talent, which is very good shooting talent. And he's even putting up points. Not maybe not he's not putting up those points where he gets 90 in a season because he hasn't been playing 90 games. He's been putting up 87th percentile primary points per 60. He's a great passer, and obviously he's a great goal scorer. Right here it says plus 8 above average. I think this player just is everything any team would want. He's a first line caliber player, and Boston's gonna love him.
Yeah, he's really one of the most complete wingers in the NHL. When you look at his play driving ability, his scoring ability, his defense, everything about him, he's a super complete, super skilled hockey player.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'd like to notice, I don't know how much time he spent on the power play and penalty kill, but his power play and penalty kill numbers don't look that good. But
I don't think he really had much of a
yeah,
role.
that's what my guess would be, because he does have a lot of talent, scoring ability, and he just seems to possess all the tools that would be make him useful per se in those type situations, but we can't really just expect him to be good if he never has been.
Yeah, we don't really know yet.
Yeah. Anyways, just an absolute steal for Boston. Like, I'm not even thinking about that twice. As a Leafs fan, I really hate to see it. Like, it actually pisses me off,
Yeah,
but
same here from Tampa. I was very upset when I
yeah.
saw that trade.
Like, I would have made that deal in a heartbeat. Even if my team doesn't need it, that type of player, he's totally worth it.
Yeah, hell, like over the summer, we could have done that with Ryan Callahan instead of Backes. Like, damn, sure
Yeah.
I'd do it. And like Toronto would have done it with Marleau. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, like, and it's what's even weirder is the Leafs were apparently looking at moving Marleau to Anaheim. So that could have actually happened in the offseason, but
Yeah,
I
that'd be
guess
crazy.
maybe they wanted to move him because he got injured again this season. Maybe they were hoping he would be completely fine, but yeah, anyways, move on. Again, I just can't express how good of a deal that was for Boston. Yeah, so the next pick or trade, my bad, is Cody Eakins to the Jets for a conditional fourth round pick. What do you think about this one? Not a huge deal, but
Yeah, I don't really get it for Winnipeg. You really think Cody Eakin is going to help fix that abomination on ice that you are running out there?
Yeah, I do think their forward group is good. I think they've even added more depth, which
might help them a little bit. Pretty good, but Eakin sucks. And, like, giving up positive value for Cody Eakin, I can't really justify that. And they didn't give up a ton, so I can't get too mad about them, but, like, it's more confusing than anything why they would think Cody Eakin's going to help them.
Yeah, I guess what even makes me more upset about that deal, if I were a Winnipeg fan, is you take away minutes from real solid guys like Adam Laurier or Andrew Kopp, who put up great results, right? Yeah, even him. If you're giving up those guys minutes for Cody Eakin, that's not worth it, right?
Yeah, even for a four, that's making your team worse.
And he has a 3.850 cap hit. I don't even know how long that lasts.
I think it's expiring, I want to say.
Yeah, you might be right. So I guess if it's expiring, it won't hurt them too much. Yeah, it's expiring, so I guess it won't hurt them too much unless they extend him.
I would call it a good deal for Vegas because it gave them enough cap space to make the other moves that they made at the deadline.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to those. I guess we'll move on. Here's a Habs trade. Canadians trade Ilya Kovalchuk for a third-round pick. What do you think about this?
I definitely see this as a win-win trade, and here's why. So Kovalchuk, since coming back from Russia, when he was on the LA Kings, he was pretty awful. But he's been really good since he got to Montreal. So it's sort of a tale of two different players. So Washington is hoping they get the better Kovalchuk. And they're paying only a third-round pick. So, I mean, if it doesn't work out, it was only a third. If it works out, great. The Capitals are even more dangerous for a playoff run. Then, from a Montreal perspective, they got Kovalchuk for nothing. They signed him for nothing. They're getting a third-round pick for nothing.
Yeah, great. Great on their part for doing that. But the one thing I'm sort of questioning is Kovalchuk is obviously he's known for a shot. That's his most lethal weapon, his offense and his shooting talent. And do the Capitals even have a spot on their power play to put him, or what's their plan?
I think he might have to play second unit because they got Ovechkin, Oshie, Backstrom, Kuzi, and Carlson on the top unit.
And they're the team that plays their second unit the least amount, if I remember correctly.
That's true, but they might change that now that they have Kovalchuk.
Yeah, I guess they could just leave Ovi on and switch other guys up, maybe. But, yeah, that sort of confused me on that part. I mean, I think a team like even, I don't know, what's a good team that struggles in the power play?
As of late, Tampa.
Yeah, but they don't need another guy. Right, they have enough talent. Winger. I don't know. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Doesn't Dallas struggle on the power play?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah, that would make sense too. Anyways, yeah, I like Dallas could use more scoring. They could have paid a third round pick, maybe like a small prospect, and got him. I don't know, but. I think it's a win-win, in my opinion. Because Kovalchuk has been good recently, so he can provide extra scoring for them. I think another team would have made more sense for him to go, but they got Russian connections there, too.
Yeah, and if you're the Caps, it's a pretty low-risk move. And if you're Montreal, it's the definition of a low-risk move because you've got it for nothing.
Exactly, and move on to the next one. This is a trade that I almost missed, actually. Happened late night, I'm pretty sure. Mike Green for Kyle Brodzak and a conditional for fourth round pick. So that's the Edmonton and Red Wing. I don't know if I like this deal really for either team, just because it just seems like it sucks. What do you think? I mean,
yeah, like from an Oilers perspective, I don't know if they really think that Mike Green is going to be some sort of answer for them, because the on-ice results over the past few years would suggest that he's not that. although he has been better since his disastrous 2017-18 season. He's been more of a league average or a little below average type of player.
Yeah, but, which you don't really want to give up anything valuable for. I mean, yeah, they didn't really give anything up too large, yeah, but
they didn't give up all that much, though. Brodziak hasn't played at all this season. So, I mean, because Brodziak was rather terrible last year, so, like, all right, let's not do that again.
I guess Detroit will add to their list of terrible players.
Yeah, perfect fit there. But, I mean, this is a really inconsequential trade, I would say. I mean, value-wise, it's probably fair, but it doesn't really mean much of anything for the league.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is I feel like Green might play a lot of minutes, and you think he could hurt the team or no?
I honestly don't know. I mean, he's whatever. It's not like the Oilers' blue line is great anyway. But if he's taking minutes from Ethan Bear, that's a problem.
Yeah, I think the Oilers really like Bear, so I don't see that happening. Yeah, so not a big deal there. Next up is Nemestikov for a fourth round pick. I think this is just a good deal for the Senators because they got Nemestikov for a fourth round pick, and he played on their team, and he helped them out. Maybe he had a little bit of leadership. He was one of the more veteran players on the team. And now the Avalanche get him. What do you think about this?
Didn't the Rangers retain salary on him too? I don't remember.
All I see here is 3.25 cap hit, so I don't think so.
I could have swore he was making like 4 point something.
I'll search on that.
But regardless of that, yeah, I mean, Ottawa gets something for a guy who wasn't really going to provide any long-term value for them. Colorado's kind of banged up right now in terms of injuries, so getting Nemestikov's not a bad thing, but I think there is a lot of way better routes you could have gone than Vladislav Nemestikov, who's not particularly good. He's a below-average player.
He was good
years ago in Tampa Bay. He hasn't.
You could probably go in a third line, right?
Yeah, but on a contender like Colorado, you don't really want him on your third line.
Yeah, I don't know if you want him on your third line as a contender. I mean, I think depth is fine. A fourth-round pick isn't a huge sum, but
if they were up like a second-round pick for him, that's something different.
Yeah, if you're to criticize Colorado for this, it's just that there were better players that you probably could have got for a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
But, depth is always good for sure. And also, his cap hit is $4 million, and it says here the trade, the Avalanche acquire $3.25 million of cap hit. So I guess
retained the rest of it. I think the Rangers are the ones who retained it.
Yeah, they retained whatever, $750,000. Move on. This is a pretty massive deal here. I think this got everybody happy who was covering the trade deadline because got them something to talk about right off the top. Pageau was acquired by the New York Islanders for a conditional first, 2022nd. And a 2022 conditional third. So the conditions are just a change in the year. So, like, 2021. And it's also top three protected. So nothing of major note. But I think this is an unbelievable deal for the Senators. And
yeah. I was going to approach it from the opposite angle, more of saying it's a horrible deal for the Islanders. But same idea. It's a massive overpay.
Yeah, so you kind of cut out there. I'll just say what you said. It was a horrible deal for the Islanders. You went the more negative route. I'm just taking the positive. Great deal for the Senators. I mean, Pageau, he's a third-line center, I'd say so. Like a good third-line center, for sure. But he's not worth a second, a third, and a first. Like
three high picks for Pageau. That's rather insane.
Could you not have got a better player for that mount, right? Like, they might have been able to get Vincent Trocheck, who we'll talk about next.
I'm not even that big a fan of Trocheck, but I think he's better than Pageau. And
well, easily, yeah.
The extension to Pageau, too, 6 years, $5 million a year. Oh, I
can't get on board with that. Here he says, it says Pajot is worth about $5 million, I think. And what do you sign for exactly?
It was $5 million for 6 years.
Yeah, so there's no way he's gonna be worth that.
Yeah, you know what? 6 years from now, he's not gonna be worth close.
I gotta
to that. Come on.
I gotta refresh that. If I remember correctly, he might be worth less than that now. Maybe. Okay, I was actually wrong. So he's worth $3.8 million. It says he's getting the deal sucks from year one, basically. And I mean, even if you don't think it sucks, you think he's a little bit better than that. It's not amazing by any means, which it should be amazing the first year if you're signing a player who would be a UFA to a longer-term deal. It should be amazing.
He's going to be like 33 years old when that deal ends. You really think he's going to be anything close to that good at age 33?
Not at all. And I even want to add, this is not what the Islanders needed. He's a defensive type forward. He doesn't provide much offense at all. He is he's in the 36th percentile of even strength offense. And he's good defensively, yes. But the Islanders need guys who can score. And
yeah.
And I know he's doing well this year, but we all know that shooting percentage year to year regresses to the mean. And it's going to do exactly that.
Yeah, to me, if you're giving up three really high picks like that, especially since that first is like probably middle of the first round, like you need to be getting a player who's going to be a real impact player for your team. I don't see Jean-Gabriel Pageau as like a real impact player.
I completely agree, yeah. Third line center best, again, I'll say. Moving on, this is another big deal. The Hurricanes acquire Trocheck for Eric Halla, Walmark, a prospect Prisky, and another prospect Luo Sarkinen, if I said those correctly, I hope. This is just such a strange deal for the Panthers. I have no clue what they're doing. I guess they wanted to trade a guy because he was getting unlucky on the season. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I wouldn't say Trocheck's been unlucky goaltending-wise, but he's been shooting at a pretty high percentage.
I think he's been shooting in more dangerous spots this season than he ever has.
Yeah, but he's still outperforming XG this year.
He is, okay. He's a good, talented player, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. He's like a low-end second-line center, I would say.
No, I think he's closer to a high-end.
Yeah, I would not go that far. I mean, I would say he's playing like that this year.
Well, you know what? We'll just say he's a average second liner, which is above what he's getting paid. He's getting paid $4.75 million.
Yeah,
and a second liner at this time is worth about $6 million on the market. So that's definitely a good deal.
Those players usually get paid into the fives,
and then Florida gets players which. I like these guys as third line centers, Halla and Walmark. The prospects, they're not very notable at all. But I just don't see what Florida's doing here.
I'm gonna be honest. I think this trade is a win for Florida, and I know this is a very unpopular opinion.
Yeah,
but I think people are really underestimating the impact of Lucas Walmark. I think Walmark is the most valuable asset in the trade. I think he's a guy who can be average offensively, with being a noticeable positive on D, and add to the fact that he's much younger and cheaper than Vincent Trocheck, I think people are sleeping on Lucas Walmark in this trade.
Well, Walmark's not going to score for you. I mean, I can see the idea that Walmark helps them defensively, but there's no way I'm taking...
But think about the Florida Panthers team right now, though. They need that. They need someone who could help them defensively.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I think... I understand it from the fact that he will help them defensively to a certain degree, but come on. Like, Trocheck, good second-line center. For a third-line center at best.
That's where I just think you're underrating Walmart, but that's fine.
Okay, you know what? I'm just looking at goals above expected here. Walmark was one of the worst players in the league in terms of shooting talent.
Yeah, this year his shooting talent's kind of caught up. Last year it was atrocious, and the year before.
Yeah, so I think it's fair to say will underperform his shooting metrics. Right here it says he's not even a positive offensive player. He has a negative goals above replacement offensively.
Yeah, in a multi-year span, that's not surprising, though, because goals above replacement is based on actual goals. It's not going to be based on expected goals. Like, I don't think Walmart being that unlucky
was his fault. This is three-season weighted guard, like, not just one season.
Yeah, but last year, 100% excuse it if you look at what his
yeah, but was like it's last still year. If I would understand that if it wasn't in the 17th percentile, I would be like, yeah, he should be fine if it was in even the 30th percentile, but it's pretty low to me.
This year, his offense has been much closer to league average. And if he can sustain anything like that with his notably good defense,
but if you just take this year, that means you can't just remove like the bad year. Like it still happened.
Yeah, but I don't think it was so much bad as unlucky. Like I don't think he's going to repeat that because his expected goal driving has always been really good.
Yeah, I mean, but Trocheck is just so much more superior to him.
In terms of finishing, Trocheck's a much better finisher and playmaker. But
yeah, and he's going to really help Carolina. Better. Yeah, I mean, you have a point there for sure, but I think Trocheck is going to move the needle more than anyone.
Right, we'll have to see how it ends up going for those teams. We don't really know.
I don't know. I think that's a steal for Florida. And what about Hollow? What do you think about him?
He's on an expiring contract. He's atrocious defensively. I'm not a fan of Hollow. I consider him more of a throw-in in this deal than anything to make the salary.
Yeah, he's another third-liner at best type of player. I mean, I guess I don't he does Hall bring some offense. I think
Walmart is the piece in this deal.
I don't know. I think I think Hollow is more of a name brand than Walmart. If you think
he's more well-known, but I don't think he's as nearly as good.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when you look at he's had major defensive struggles this season.
Yeah, so the point of Florida getting better defensively kind of goes away if you take away the fact that both these players' defensive numbers will turn to zero. If you take in Hollow's terrible defensively, Walmart's good defensively, it's going to equal zero.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how much ice time they actually give Hollow. I mean, Hollow could be a reclamation project, though. He has been good in the past. We'll have to see what Florida does with him, but Carolina was definitely smart to get him off their roster for this season because he wasn't doing anything for them.
Yeah, I think Trocheck's going to do really well in Carolina. We've talked about this one for a while, so we'll move on here. Really small deal. The Flyers acquire Nate Thompson for fifth-round pick from Montreal. This is kind of a nothing deal. There's not much to talk about. I think Nate Thompson is an effective penalty killer. But, I mean, obviously, again, it's always good to have depth. But I think the Flyers could have just called up their best AHL player and done better.
Yeah, I mean, there were way, way better options than Nate Thompson out there. Thompson is a bad hockey player at this stage in his career. And giving up positive value for him is questionable. Montreal, I'll applaud them for getting anything for that dude. He sucks.
All right, you got it. Moving on, the Leafs acquire Callie Rosen back. We got him back for Michael Hutchison. This is sort of a steal for the Leafs, given Hutchison is like third pairing defenseman.
Michael Hutchison is hot trash.
So I think I've heard that Sakic was doing Rosen a favor because he wanted to go back to the Leafs because they weren't really playing him at all in the NHL, that is. So I guess Sakic's just helping up the Leafs because he got a good deal in the summer by getting Kadri, but
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Rosen has played 16 NHL games, as far as I can tell, and has been, like, slightly below average in those games, and sort of on the high event side.
Yeah, it's we'll not, see. You can't really note it yet.
Yeah,
he does seem like a high event player. Yeah, we don't really know. I think he can be, like, a decent number six, but he's already, like, 25 or something like that, so he's nothing much.
At the very least, he's not as terrible as Michael Hutchinson. To be fair, Colorado
doesn't have injuries. I think we've talked about this deal too much. Yeah,
Colorado's injured,
and also, they just called him up, by the way, too. So, all right, well, we've talked about this too much. We'll move on. A fairly notable deal. I mean, not that this player is anything much anymore, but I'll get to it. Patrick Marleau is who the Penguins acquire for a conditional third-round pick. What do you think about this deal? It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Marleau's pretty mediocre at this point in his career. I don't think he's much of an impact player. But
yeah, I think he's a fourth liner at best.
Yeah, if you're playing Marleau above your fourth line, it's probably not going to go particularly well. He's pretty bad defensively at this point. He's slow. He's kind of old. Like, very old, I should say.
But yeah, Leaf fans definitely know that because he was atrocious last year, and he played way too high up in the lineup.
Yeah, I remember hearing a lot of Leafs fan complaints about that. But yeah, I mean, if Pittsburgh uses Marleau in a limited role, he can probably be fine, but I don't really understand why Pittsburgh did this move or what the need was for it.
Yeah, I kind of think a third-round pick is sort of high when you look at what other teams got, I guess.
Yeah.
He does hold a certain amount of leadership quality in the dressing room, but I don't know if the Penguins need that, like...
Yeah, I mean,
they probably have the best leaders in the whole league.
Three Stanley Cups.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not a massive deal, but it's if it's Patrick Marleau, you got to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
The next pick is a weird one, for sure. This is sort of two bad teams making a trade. The Sabres acquire Wayne Simmons, 50% retained, for a conditional fifth-round pick. And the conditioner, if the Sabres make the playoffs and Simmons plays 10 games, the pick will upgrade to a fourth. I don't know why the Sabres did that. It was in a large cost, but I'll get your thoughts on it before I keep rambling on.
I don't get this at all from the Buffalo perspective. They're not going to make the playoffs. Their little hot run in February has improved them up to about a 2.5% chance to make the playoffs. You really think Wayne Simmons is going to push you the rest of the way into a playoff spot? I don't think so.
Yeah. The only value Wayne Simmons has is leadership in the dressing room. He is a greedy player, so I do like those type of players. And he is good on the power play, but that's it. I think he's a negative player. At even strength, so it basically removes all those pluses. Like, his power play value is not worth all that sort of negative value.
Yeah, and like, whoever he's replacing in the lineup, which you could argue that's going to be the departed Connor Sherry, like, Simmons is worse than Connor Sherry. We can agree on this, right?
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
So you're making your team worse when you're trying to go on a playoff hunt. And giving up a draft pick to do it, I cannot rationalize this for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, and I just pulled up Evolving Hockey's playoff probability percent chance of making it. The Sabres are at 5% chance to make the playoffs, which I don't think you should be acquiring players on expiring deals at this point.
Yeah.
There was a trade, it's not very notable at all, but the Flyers acquired Derek Grant for Kyle Crisullo in a conditional fourth, which I really don't know who the hell Derek Grant is. I've probably heard his name like once. I have no thoughts on this deal. What do you think?
Derek Grant is a bottom six guy. He's played on the Pens and Ducks. He's a guy who has some goal scoring ability. A little. I mean, he's kind of an okay shooter, but overall, he's definitely a negative player. He's a fourth line center. He's a fourth line center. I mean, the Flyers, they're adding depth. He's better than Thompson, I'd say, but that's a low bar. I mean, it's a pretty whatever trade.
Yeah, I a fourth round pick obviously is conditional, but and I don't know how good this prospect is, but I don't really get it.
Who was the prospect
for any team? I guess it was Kyle Crisullo. Might not even be a nothing. Right? Yeah, makes sense because I've never heard of him. Yeah, Derek Grant. I don't even like. They just got Thompson. They got the same guy twice.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take Grant over Thompson 10 times out of 10. But yeah, I don't know why they're like addressing the fourth line center position so hard.
Yeah, I thought, is Lawton playing 3C or is he? Because I think he's a good fourth line center.
Didn't Nolan Patrick recently become healthy again? So that sort of changes things. I haven't watched the Flyers much since then.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch. I'm just loading it up here. Currently, no, Lawton's their third line center. I don't see Patrick in the lineup. Yeah, they have Thompson as the fourth line center right now.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
All right. Again, we've spent too much time talking on these nothing deals here. We kind of have another nothing deal. I don't know. Might as well just say it. The Canadiens acquire Aaron Luchuk and a 7th-round pick from Ottawa for Matthew Pekka. I, again, have no thoughts on this. What do you think?
Matthew Pekka is bad. He's really bad. I mean, in Tampa, I mean, I kind of liked him because he was good at faceoffs. But other than that, he was good at faceoffs and he's really fast. But in terms of, like, actual ice hockey ability, not really there. And his year in Montreal last year was just atrocious. This year he's not even playing. Yeah, I mean, getting anything for him, I would probably call a win at this point.
All right. So I guess you got it a win for the Canadiens, I guess.
Yeah.
The next deal here is a little bit more notable, not major, but Danton Heinen for Nick Ritchie.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, Heinen for Ritchie is an interesting swap. It can sort of be seen as an extension of the Kasha deal. But I like Danton Heinen. I mean, I think he's a forward who adds a lot of defensive value while being...
Yeah, he is good defensively.
He's not great offensively. He's not going to be some offensive world beater, but he adds defensive value for sure. Nick Ritchie's sort of the other way around. He's a negative defensive player and a positive offensive one. It depends how good you actually think Nick Ritchie is offensively. He started this year off really well. He's cooled off quite a bit. I think Heinen is the better player.
Heinen is actually really good defensively. I think both players are third liners.
I might call Heinen a second liner, but they're in that middle six range.
You want a second liner who's good offensively, who can actually finish. I don't know if he can fit that bill. I think he can be a pretty effective third liner, though.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say the Ducks win the trade, but the Bruins don't necessarily lose because this does free up a little bit more cap space for them to try and re-sign Torrey Krug.
Yeah, maybe. And I was going to say that Ritchie is more of a gritty player, which will kind of fit Boston's known mold, I guess.
Yeah. I'm very
That's all we really got to say.
Boston went for Ritchie.
They had his brother, right? Yeah,
did
Brett
they,
Ritchie, who is not
Brett?
Very good.
Yeah, Brett. Yeah. Brett had like one good year in Dallas, if I recall.
They sent him down, I believe. So I guess we all know who has bragging rights.
Yeah.
So we'll move on. Here, this is sort of the same type of deal in terms of like how big it is. Andreas Athanasiou and an AHL player. For Sam Gagner, $315,000 retained and 2 second-round picks.
What do you think? Want me to give you my honest opinion on this trade?
Honest opinion, go for it.
This is an incredibly terrible trade for the Edmonton Oilers. I'm just looking at it like this. I mean, Athanasiou is one of the worst defensive forwards in the league while not being anything other than average on offense. And when you consider they might put him on a line with McDavid and Draisaitl, are they trying to allow 4 goals a game?
Maybe.
That line's going to be the worst defensive line in hockey if they put it together.
Well, and I think this allows them to free up McDavid and Draisaitl more so they don't have to play together.
I don't think Andreas Athanasiou really does that for you. I don't think he's a very good player, I'm going to be completely honest. He's fast. I think he sucks.
I disagree with you the fact that he sucks. I think he can be useful in Edmonton, but I don't like this deal because he's not worth 2 second-round picks.
2 second-round
and
picks.
Sam Gagne. I think Sam Gagne is a good
player. Gagne's solid. Gagne can play.
He can play hockey.
On the third
agree.
Line, why not? Sam Gagne on the third line, cool.
He won't kill you on a third line, for sure. So I think this is a loss for Edmonton, but I do think that Athanasiou will help the Oilers score.
Yeah, I'm not very sold on Athanasiou offensively.
He's one of the fastest players in the league. And
he's fast. His hands are merely okay, though.
He can play with
McDavid. He's not a good playmaker. He's turnover-prone.
He's above average shooting talent.
Yeah, but he's a bad playmaker. He's turnover-prone. He jumps the zone way too early. Atrocious defensively. I'm not a fan of him.
I think he can gel with McDavid, maybe. Most players can. I think he can gel with McDavid.
Since he's
above average shooter, he's going to help him out.
It hasn't really been the fast players that have gelled the most with McDavid, though. I've seen, it's been Patrick Maroon, Alex Chiasson, Zach Cassian. Those have been the type of guys who have had the most success next to McDavid.
Yeah, I think Athanasiou has the hockey mind to keep up with them, maybe. Because
I don't know. I question
we'll see. That. We'll see. I could see him putting up a lot of points and scoring, outscoring the opposition because he has that shooting talent and speed.
Maybe.
Yeah, this is an interesting deal. I definitely think it's a loss for the Red Wings, but I'm actually really excited to see what happens with SSU in Edmonton. Move on, another Edmonton trade. So they get Tyler Ennis for a 5th-round pick, which I think is a great deal for both sides. Win-win. Ennis will help out with the same sort of thing. He'll help you score. He's still an effective player.
I think Ennis is a better player than Athanasiou, and they gave up hilariously less for him.
It's
funny when deals like that happen when guys have more reputation versus.
I think I have to agree that it is pretty close between those two. You might be more on the side of Athanasiou being bad than me, but I think Ennis is very similar in terms of value to Athanasiou. And he's not going to do anything but help him out a little bit.
To me, Ennis doesn't have those same big defensive drawbacks that I see with Athanasiou. I don't think Ennis sacrifices your defense. I think Ennis is pretty average.
Well, that's what the data says. I mean, I don't think he's any good defensive player, but I guess it really does say that he doesn't hurt you defensively much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's a player that really helps you or hurts you on either end of the ice. I mean, I just think he kind of exists. And that's fine.
No, he'll help you on offense for sure. He's a talented player.
I mean, I would rather have a player that exists than a player who sucks. I mean, common sense, right?
Yeah, but he's better than just exists, though. He has talent offensively.
Yeah,
he's going to help out that offense.
I don't know. We'll see how Ennis does, but I think a 5th is a pretty cheap price to get a player like Ennis.
Yeah, I think it's a win-win for both teams. I mean, he helped out the Senators. They got a 5th for him.
Yeah,
I think maybe they would have wanted more, but it is what it is. Here's another Buffalo deal. Dominic Cahoon for Evan Rodriguez and Connor Sheary. So sort of a weird deal for the Pens. Let me get your thoughts.
Yeah, so for the Pens, I don't really like it. Let me pull up some RPM for Dominic Cahoon. I'm a big fan of his game.
While you do that, I'll just talk about this. I think all players are, like, good third liners. I mean, maybe Cahoon could be a second liner. I'm not totally sure. But it's sort of weird from a salary cap perspective because I think Cahoon's the best player in the deal. And his salary cap is the lowest out of all three players in the deal. And, like, if you're managing your cap, it would just be better to keep the best player rather than two players that are worse for a lot more cap. So yeah. That, in that sense, it doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, going to Cahoon's RPM, it's interesting. This year, his expected goals driving has actually been pretty bad, but in terms of actual goals driving, he's been very good. I think that could be a Pittsburgh system thing that can change once he goes to Buffalo. I think he's a legitimately talented offensive player who's also going to tread water and possibly be even legitimately good defensively. I think Cahoon's a second-line player. I really do. And I think in this trade, Rodriguez is fine. I like Rodriguez. I've always been sort of a fan of his. He's more of a third-line guy. Connor Sheary is another more third-line guy.
I think, Rodriguez is third or fourth-line center on a team.
Yeah, and like for the Penguins, I don't really get this trade. I don't know why you would trade Dominic Cahoon when he's playing well.
Yeah.
I think it might be some sort of wanting to like reunite Connor Sheary.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to get a player back that you know and everything. I completely understand that, but the worst part of it is the salary kind of thing, where Cahoon is on such a great deal, I guess.
Yeah,
and
Cahoon is so cost-controlled.
They get players really like isn't just worth their contracts that will like increase their cap. I don't get that part.
Yeah. So I think this is smart from Buffalo to get a young and talented player like Cahoon.
Yeah. So Buffalo win on this one.
Yeah.
We're both pretty clear on that. Yep. There's an AHL deal. Don't really know anything about that. Well, yeah, we can do this one real quick. Louis Dominique, Vancouver Canucks acquire for Zane McIntyre. I definitely didn't say that right.
It's Louis Domingue and Zane McIntyre. I got you.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay, McIntyre, who is a goaltender as well. And I don't really think he's anything. This is kind of a weird deal.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL did not drink the Kool-Aid on Louis Domingue the way I thought they would after he put up a good record in Tampa. Even though his stats sucked, he had a great record. Yeah, Louis Domingue's not very good. He gives up a lot of softies early in games.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of his.
Yeah, McIntyre, he's not good. But McIntyre, Domingue has at least played in the NHL.
McIntyre's a minor league.
I don't really get this for the Devils. Like, I would expect them to get a sixth round pick or something like that.
Yeah, so
it's kind of weird.
I mean, For Vancouver, they obviously did it because Jacob Markstrom is injured.
Yeah, do you know how long he's out? Because I haven't really...
I think I heard it's a torn meniscus, so it's probably pretty bad.
Jeez, and he's been unbelievable. You don't like to see that for the Canucks at all.
Yeah.
Hey. I'll just keep going here. There's another AHL deal I won't talk about. Another Canadiens deal. The Canadiens get a fourth-round pick from Vegas for Nick Cousins. Is Nick Cousins even good?
Yeah, Nick Cousins is good. I think this is a very savvy move from the Vegas Golden Knights to acquire a player like Nick Cousins who
has
two pretty solid seasons.
Man, this guy has some really good numbers.
Goals above replacement likes him a little more than RPM does. But even then, defensively, this is his second straight year being minus 0.1 or better in terms of XGA impact. So he's a very good defensive player who's league average offensively. I think this is a really, really smart move for the Vegas Golden Knights. I think Nick Cousins is a valuable hockey player.
what's weird is his shooting talent is below average, it says, but his even strength offense is, like, really good, actually. It's 69th percentile. So, yeah, he seems like an excellent fourth-line player. Kind of reminds me a little bit about the player they had before on their fourth line in Brendan Peary. Yeah. I guess they're slightly different players, but yeah, this seems like
different
a good
style,
fourth line player.
Both underrated.
Yeah, definitely agree. Move on there. I think it's I guess we got both win for Vegas. Just looking at his stats, they just seem really good. So the Coyotes acquire Marcus Hannikkinen for a conditional 7th.
Gonna be honest, I have no idea if he's any good. Let's look up his RPM real quick. It's about to be pulled up.
He's barely played NHL games by the looks of it.
Yeah, looks like he didn't play at all this year, but in the last couple
of
years.
Oh, he did play a bunch of games. Jeez.
Before this year, it looks like. And then, like, it doesn't look like he was very good. Yeah, he looks pretty terrible, actually. Yeah, offensively, that's an absolute liability. And defensively, looks below average, too. Yeah, this guy sucks. Getting anything for him is probably a W.
Yeah, it's not even, like, a small sample because he's played a bunch of games, like, 50 games this year, 30 games another year. That's a decent sample. Next up, interesting deal. The Anaheim Ducks acquire Christian Dejos for Daniel Sprong. Sprong, a guy who's been moved a ton recently and hasn't seemed to put it together. Both players are in the HL. What do you think about this deal?
All right, I am a very big fan of Daniel Sprong. Dating back to when he was a prospect, he has pretty consistently been he was my favorite prospect ever. I was pretty upset when the Lightning didn't draft him. But Daniel Sprong, okay, gotta tell you a story. I have an entire folder of pictures on my iPad from middle school that's just pictures of him. But anyway,
why?
Because I don't know, I was a huge fan of him, but he hasn't really put it all together at the NHL level yet. In the 2018-19 season, he got a pretty good sample and was rather bad defensively. I mean, there's been signs. He was really good defensively in a grand total of 8 games in the 2017-18 season. But, yeah, Sprong, he's been inconsistent. He hasn't really put it together at the NHL level. But if any team can get it together for him, I think it's Washington.
Yeah, and they seem like the team to pick for that. Dejos, is there any stance on him from your perspective?
I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Juice. And he's interesting because he had really good scoring rates and really good RPM numbers offensively in the 2017-18 season. And he looked like he was really good that year and like he was developing into something. Then he absolutely fell off a cliff on both ends of the ice last year, and then this year he's played 2 games. So another guy where there's consistency problems, but there's talent there. I think both of these guys needed a change of scenery. And I think that this trade could work out very well for both teams.
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, how many times has Sprong been moved?
Just a couple times now.
Third or fourth time? I mean, I don't know. It seems like it's getting a little late for him to put it together, but I know he does have talent for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's still, what, 22 years old?
He's still a prospect for sure. Another Anaheim deal. Anaheim acquires Matt Irwin and a 6th-round pick for Corbinian Holzer.
I've always been kind of a fan of Matt Irwin. I'm not exactly sure.
I mean,
why
he's nothing much, really, but
he's not anything special. But I mean, there's been like occasional flashes of a good hockey player, though. This year looks like he's been pretty terrible by RPM. Corbinian Holzer.
He's nothing at all either.
Yeah, Corbinian Holzer has been pretty terrible this year too. And last year looks like he had good GF, but not good XGF. It was probably a fluke.
I think the most valuable piece in this deal is the 2022 6th-round pick.
Yeah, So we could give the victory to Anaheim based on just that alone.
Pretty much. Yeah, we'll just move on from there. Nothing too much to talk about. Just two really seventh defensemen at best. So the Flames acquired Derek Forbort, 25% retained for a conditional fourth. The fourth changes to a third if Calgary reaches the 2020 conference finals and Forbort plays 50% of the games or if Forbort resigns. So I think this is just another win for LA because Forbort is another seventh defenseman at best kind of guy.
Yeah, and Forbert's not very good. He's going to be an offensive liability. I'll give him this. He is a plus on defense. Derek Forbort is a plus on defense, but he's just so bad in offensive liability that sort of cancels out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been better for the Flames to get, to call up their best AHL defenseman and just play him over Forbort instead of giving up a fourth round pick, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he is a big guy, and maybe
yeah, he's big. There's not really much else to him.
Locker room value, but
who knows?
Yeah,
a guy who sucked next to Drew Doughty for a couple years.
Yep, Drew Doughty was good. I don't know about that anymore, but
he's not anymore. But
another Ducks trade. Wow, the Ducks are loving it today. Sony Milano for Devin Shore from the Blue Jackets. So the Blue Jackets get Shore, my bad. Shore has a pretty high cap hit at $2.3 million, where Milano has just around $800,000. So definitely interesting from that perspective. I don't really think either player really moves the needle at all. Do you have any thoughts?
I keep waiting for Sony Milano to finally break out, and it just keeps not happening. So I might have to give up on him at some point. But, I mean, he's played parts of multiple NHL seasons now and hasn't looked like anything other than a third liner, if even. I mean, and Devin Shore was god-awful in 17-18 for the Stars, at least offensively. He was good defensively. And then since then, he's somehow switched from being a high-event player to a low-event. I mean, no, from a low-event player to a high-event player, but still pretty bad.
Like, yeah, I think Devin these guys Shore's are, like, not both fourth liners at best. So,
and I think Milano's the better player. I would say Anaheim wins.
You think? All right. Yeah, I don't even know if Shore's with his cap hit at this point. $2.3 million, that sounds pretty high to me.
Yeah, it's pretty hefty for a fourth-line guy.
Yeah, I think – so I just checked. He is expiring, so it's not really going to hurt them anyway, but – yeah, I guess
I still see potential in Milano. So the Ducks giving up and expiring for that, I mean, that's a win for the Ducks, honestly.
Yep, and Milano is 23 years old, so relatively young. He is also up this summer, obviously an RFA, but nonetheless. Next up, this is a Tampa Bay Lightning deal. I think you'd like to talk about this one for quite a bit. San Jose acquire Anthony Greco from the AHL currently and a first-round pick for Goodrow and a third-round pick.
Yeah, so people are acting like this is some disastrous deal for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I really don't see it that way. I really don't, because with Barkley Goodrow, we've got a guy who is on multiple consecutive seasons of really good defensive results with offense that's been inconsistent but probably a little below average if we're averaging out what we've seen from Goodrow. He's gonna be a guy who he's not gonna move the needle either way offensively, but I think his defensive value probably from the third line is gonna be pretty important for us. He's a possession player. And then he adds some physicality to the team that we could use, honestly. And if you think about the first-round pick, it's our first-round pick and Philly's third-round pick. We're moving down, like, 45 to 50 spots in the draft. It's really not that big a deal. Like, people overreacting, saying it's a first-round pick. We're moving down 45 to 50 spots in the draft to move from Anthony Greco, who's played, like, two NHL games, to Barkley Goodrow, who I think can be a real positive player for the Lightning.
Yeah, and I will like to say Goodrow has a really good deal currently at $925,000 for another year after this season. And I think he's worth far more than that, for sure, which will help Tampa's cap crunch, which will be happening, hopefully, in the summer.
Can I like, elaborate on that?
Yeah.
So, like, this summer is a very tough one for the Lightning. The Vasilevsky extension kicks in. I think it's a terrible contract, but regardless of that, it kicks in. We have to re-sign Anthony Cirelli and Mikhail Sergachev, and I believe Eric Chernev. So there's some important restricted free agent names to sign, and we probably won't be able to bring back Kevin Shattenkirk, for example. But in addition, a forward likely has to go. Alex Killorn's no-trade clause loosens over the summer, so he's likely out. And to me, the importance of acquiring guys like Blake Coleman and Barclay Goodrow is those guys combine to make like $2.7 or $2.8 million for next season. And when the cap crunch hits the Lightning this summer, when we have to pay Cirelli and Sergachev, etc., that's really important. That allows us to move out a guy like Killorn and not really feel the heat from that.
Yep, definitely a good point there. So a lot of people were sort of pissed off about this trade from a Tampa perspective, or negative from a Tampa perspective. A 2020 first-round pick does sound like a lot, and I don't think a Goodrow type player really goes for that when you look at these other type of deals. But, I mean, he is a lot better than a lot of these players on the market here, for sure. But I guess a late first-round pick, they shouldn't call it a first-round pick. They should specify that it's a late first-round pick when you look at this deal, because Tampa is going to go far. It's going to be a late first-round pick. And first-round pick is not much at all.
I'm just going to compare the Goodrow deal to another deal that happened involving a first-round pick. Pageau, right? So Pageau, the Islanders not only gave up a first-round pick, gave up two other high picks, and didn't get any picks back to get a player in Pageau who's worse than Goodrow. And then for the Lightning, they got a high pick back instead of giving up two extras. It got Goodrow. Like, compared to what other teams did with their first-round picks, Tampa used those wisely.
Yeah, I have to agree. But I'd give it a win for the San Jose Sharks, just because you usually don't get a first-round pick for Goodrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's more underrated league-wide, more of an undervalued commodity. The Sharks did get the value that they probably deserved for him, and the Lightning, I think, paid a pretty fair price for him that people will consider an overpay because, as I said, he's underrated.
Well, also, on top of that, again, the first-round pick, it's not too much different than a second-round pick of both teams. But I will still go with San Jose win because you wouldn't expect him to get a first-round pick from this.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Another very interesting deal here, actually. The Calgary Flames acquire Eric Gustafsson for a conditional third-round pick, which I think is a good deal for Calgary.
Yeah, I thought Gustafsson was going to – I thought some team was going to, like, trade a first-round pick for him. I thought teams were going to go a little crazy for him. Just because he put up a lot of points last year.
Yeah, he's literally the definition of an overvalued player on the market. But he literally got almost his exact value. You could say maybe a little bit more. Yeah,
I would say a second round pick. Yeah.
So I guess we could say great deal for Calgary from a market perspective, and a good deal from an intrinsic value sort of perspective.
Yeah, I'm definitely saying that this is a smart move for the Flames because Gustafsson, he's high event, yes. He's bad defensively, yes. These are all true facts about Eric Gustafsson. But over the past few seasons, he's had
He's been don't a positive slander high event because being high event doesn't mean you're bad, though.
Yeah, because so that's the thing. Don't put that in negative. Problems. Yeah, he has the defensive problems, but he has the offensive benefits that come with being high event. He's a very talented offensive player. And if you can do your best as a team to hide his defensive weaknesses, he will provide a lot of value for you as an offensive defenseman.
Yeah, totally agree on that part. I'll give this an easy one for Calgary. Honestly, a huge loss for the Blackhawks. I thought they really should have got more.
Yeah, I thought
they were going to get a lot more. The Sharks acquire or the next trade is the Sharks acquire Brendan Davidson for future considerations from the Flames. I
legitimately didn't even hear about this trade.
I literally just saw it. So, yeah. I mean, but future Davidson, considerations are always fun.
Just my initial reaction to it is Davidson has definitely in the past been a pretty good player. But the last couple years, I mean, since the start of last season, he's only played 17 games. But he played 51 games in the 2017-18 season and was legitimately very good defensively and not a complete offensive liability. So, like, Davidson, there's something to him there. There's something there that's definitely worth more than future considerations. But I wouldn't call it bad for the Flames either because they weren't playing him anyway and they acquired two defensemen at this deadline.
Yep. Totally on board with you on this one. I don't really have any other thoughts on this trade. Move on here. Fairly big deal here. We got Sami Vatanen. He is 50% retained for Frederik Claesson, Jane Kukkonen, and a 2020 conditional fourth. My first reaction to this trade is surprised such a smart organization like the Hurricanes are acquiring Vatanen, who I don't think is a very good defenseman at all.
Yeah, but I'm not
looking,
a fan of
looking at what the looking at what the Devils got, it's nothing much at all. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. What do you think, Dom?
I wouldn't even necessarily call it nothing much, though, because Freddie Claesson has shown himself to actually be very good defensively, and while he is pretty bad offensively, if I'm going to be honest, he's definitely on the lower event side, but he seems like he could be at least an average to slightly above average low event player if you use him. Sami Vatanen, I'm not even convinced, is average. So I think the Carolina Hurricanes may have, in fact, gotten worse with this trade in addition to giving up a prospect.
It is pretty weird because I don't know why Carolina needed him at all. Like, they literally have so many defensemen. I know two of them are going to be injured, but I mean, come on. Just and look, they have enough
the other
guys.
Trade they make today, are we sure Eric Tolsky actually has any sway in that organization with this trade and the other one that we're going to get to eventually?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. They love getting every defenseman on the market, I guess. But, I guess, what's his name on Carolina from St. Louis? What's his name?
Joel Edmondson.
Yeah, Edmondson. Like, isn't Edmondson the same value-wise player as Vatanen? Like, why did you need Vatanen, right?
Yeah, I guess because Vatanen's a righty and the guys they have injured are righties. I still don't like it, though.
Yeah, I think people get too fed up in the righty-lefty sort of thing.
Yeah, they honestly do.
Moving on. Alright, so here's sort of a complex deal. I'll try my best to sort of explain it. So, the Blackhawks acquire from Vegas Malcolm Subban, prospect, and a 2020 second-round pick. And then the Leafs acquire Leonard, and then they retain 50% of his salary, and they get a fifth-round pick. And then the Leafs traded Leonard and Martinis Dzirkels, who is Latvian.
Dzirkels, I think is how it's pronounced.
Dzirkels to Vegas. So Vegas gets Leonard retained slightly. And... yeah, so I'll just go from left to right. From a Chicago perspective, I think Leonard is worth a lot more than what they got. And the goalie market is really hard to evaluate. But yeah. It's just, I think a lot of fans are pissed for good reason. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I get why they're upset. But as you said, the goalie market is always hard to gauge. I don't know if any team would have paid more than that for Leonard. But, I mean, it definitely wasn't a good deal for Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, Leonard is definitely worth a lot more than what they got. So that's, like,
yeah, at least
the main thing. From the Leafs' perspective, they basically, since they're a rich team, they basically spend, like whatever, $150,000 to retain salary and get a fifth-round pick. So pretty much brilliant on their side of things,
a theory about this for Toronto. I think they may have done this trade to keep Robin Leonard in the Western Conference. I bet
that is
a team like Carolina or something was going after him, and Toronto swooped in to keep him in the West.
Well, I don't know. That's an interesting theory. I think, obviously, they prefer to have him in the West because he's a very good goaltender. But I just think they wanted a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's
for free,
very possible,
basically. I think this is a great deal for the Knights if they are willing to sign him. Which
I have to consider Vegas a huge winners here.
Yeah, so Vegas, Malcolm Subban has not been good at all. He's not an NHL goalie. I'm sorry to say that.
And
for
the
him.
Thing is, Marc-Andre Fleury has been really bad this year, too.
Yeah.
Goaltending has been the massive weakness on the Golden Knights roster. They're otherwise a super strong hockey team.
Yeah,
you get
that's
a massive upgrade in goal like that. Watch out for the Golden Knights. I mean, I think
I think goaltending is their biggest weakness, right?
Top team in the West. Yeah, goalie was definitely their biggest weakness.
Yeah, and I mean, I still have faith Fleury can be good still, but he's getting old, right? I don't think you can lean on him that much at his age. And getting Leonard is massive. Like
Robin
Leonard
is better.
I don't think people have talked about this enough. It's just a massive deal for the Knights. I think they really might put themselves from a good team to a great team because of this one move. And they didn't give much for it. The only thing, I guess this could be a negative for both the Blackhawks and the Knights, but I really don't like it when teams don't put in the conditional pick. I think Vegas should include conditions on Leonard re-signing sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been good for Chicago, not necessarily good for Vegas, though. I mean, to me, this is the trade, out of all these deadline deals, this may be the one that has the biggest potential to shape the NHL landscape, because I think Robin Leonard really changes how teams are going to perceive the Vegas Golden Knights and how the Vegas Golden Knights are in terms of their playoff run viability.
Yeah, absolutely. The Knights are a really strong team all around. I think their biggest problem was goaltending, and their second biggest problem was shooting talent. But and that hasn't been fixed, but definitely goaltending, I think, is probably fixed ultimately. I think Leonard is a great guy. He's a great goalie.
Ever since he got over whatever mental health issues he had in Buffalo, since he got to the Islanders last year, he's been an excellent goaltender.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of Leonard. We'll move on there. So we all agree Leafs got a fifth-round pick for free, so good on them. But excellent deal for Vegas, and Chicago fans have a right to be mad.
Yeah.
I guess not even for just this deal, but the Gustafson deal we just talked about a few minutes earlier. So the last major trade is the Carolina Hurricanes trade for Brady. How do you say his last name?
Shea.
Brady Shea. I forgot about that. For a conditional first-round pick, the conditions are the Rangers will receive either Carolina's or Toronto's first-round pick.
Yeah, whichever
one
pick
is later. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, all right, I know you want to talk about this pretty badly, so go on.
Yeah, I cannot justify this for the Carolina Hurricanes. Brady Shea is not very good. I mean, dude can skate, but in terms of actually knowing how to play hockey, knowing the ins and outs of the defenseman position, Brady Shea is just not up to par.
Yeah, he is awful defensively. I think he's a major reason why the Rangers are awful defensively, because he's playing a lot of minutes on that team.
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you something crazy?
Sure.
So the Rangers had 10 skaters this year below replacement level. Somehow they're a respectable team despite having 10 skaters below replacement level. Well, that's down to 9 now with Brady Shea gone. Brady Shea had the second worst goals above replacement on the Rangers, only above Kaapo Kakko.
Jeez.
Yeah, Brady Shea this year has been a nightmare. It's not like he was some excellent player in years past. I don't see how this move helps Carolina. I don't see why you're giving up a first-round pick for a player like this. Eric Tolsky, give your head a shake.
Jesus, Tolsky. No, I love Tolsky's work and what he's done. Maybe they didn't listen to him on this deal. I don't know. But
that's what it seems like.
Yeah. He does seem pretty competent offensively, but it's, his defense just brings that down to, like, nothing.
Yeah, sort of and thing. Even then, like, offensively, his XG numbers are pretty good, but his goal numbers have always been below that, and I think that could be because he shoots too much.
Yeah, you know what, actually...
I don't think he's a very smart offensive player. I think he has tools. I think he completely lacks the toolbox.
Yeah, he definitely has talent, and it shows where he's been picked in the draft. I think that tells a little bit of the story. But, yeah, you're definitely right with this. A first-round pick for him is not what you want to do.
Yeah, there are much better ways you could have made that trade. Much better defenseman you could have gone.
And
you could
again,
have traded a third-round pick for Erik Gustafsson. You'd be way better off.
Again, I don't think they needed him at all, which makes it even worse, in my opinion, because they have so many defensemen. Like, come on, right?
Yeah, I mean, I understand with the injuries, but going for him and Vatanen, those are the two defensemen you go after? Damn, that's not a good look.
Yeah, exactly. So... he does take a pretty high percentage of shots at even strength. Right here it says 18% of the shots taken are of his shots.
Yeah, for a defenseman, that's pretty high.
So, you know what? We're going to talk about Tyson Barry. That is his biggest criticism, in my opinion. And he takes 24%. So he's not as bad as Barry, but that's not very good, in my opinion. If you want to look at a perfect defenseman in terms of shooting, I'd like to go with Jake Gardner because he always drives expected goals, and I think that's a lot because of how much he shoots, which is at, let me see, hold up. So he shoots at 16%. So I guess Brady Shea isn't too bad.
Gardner doesn't shoot nearly as much as a guy like Tyson Barry. Yeah, I think that was a big mistake in the offseason by the Leafs, replacing Gardner with Tyson Barry. Because you're going from average to bad defensively, and you're going from good to average offensively.
No, I think we kind of messed up that Shea shoots a lot, because I don't know if he shoots, like,
it's not like a ridiculous amount. It's not a ridiculous amount, but it's more than you want Brady Shea to be shooting.
Yeah. I guess so, because
it's
shot
not Tyson
is
Tyson Barry level though. It's not Tyson Barry.
Yeah, I don't even know if he can get worse than Tyson Barry level. So we're both agree on this part. We got a big Rangers win.
Yeah.
Actually, before we even go to Tyson Barry, we'll talk about a big Rangers loss, in my opinion at least. Chris Kreider was signed.
You're calling that a loss for the Rangers?
Yeah,
I can't get on board with that. Chris Kreider is one of the best wingers in the NHL, in my opinion. I think he's easily a first-line winger. I think he's a guy you add to any team, and he instantly makes that team a lot better.
Has he not already regressed?
This year, it looks like his defense has regressed, but I seriously think that could be because the Rangers have 10 below replacement
like,
skaters.
Is it notable enough or no?
I mean, it's bounced back as the season's gone on. I mean, it was really bad early on. But he's kind of back to being Kreider now, at least over the past couple of months. And the extension was like $6.5 million a year, right?
Yeah. So
just comparing it like to Kevin Hayes. Kevin Hayes was on those same Rangers teams as Kreider and was worse than Kreider and got more money than Kreider. I don't know how you can be upset with this.
Kreider is 28 years old currently, and he's signed till. So he signed till he's 35.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years of that deal are probably bad, but...
Well, I guess...
Kreider's a guy who should be making more than that right now, I would say. Like, pull up his contract value. Pull up Jackie's chart.
Sure. Yeah, I think he's an underrated player. Chris Kreider. Yeah, so he is worth more than that right now. It says he's worth $8.7 million. Which makes sense. That looks about right to me. He's just such a great player all around at driving expected goals, etc. Great player off the rush.
Yeah, he's
above average
really
shooting.
Fast. He's like a bull in a china shop. forechecks like crazy.
He has a great grit. Yeah, great forechecker. He's everything you want. Like, everybody loves this type of player.
Yeah, every team would kill to have Chris Kreider on their team.
Yeah, although he is not very good at in-zone positioning sort of thing. Like, he's a lot more effective off the rush rather than in-zone.
Yeah, but even in-zone, I mean, he's able to do things on the front of the net sometimes. I would say.
Yeah, well, he is good in front of the net, actually.
That's the one in-zone area he's good at. Otherwise, when it comes to, like, cycling the puck, I wouldn't want
him. Yeah, he's not the best cycler, which might be his biggest flaw. That says a lot about how good he is. I mean, you could say his defense isn't that good, I guess. I mean,
his defense fell off a cliff this year, but I think it's going to come back. Yeah. It's been very good in years past.
Okay, but he's also getting older, so
I'm really not worried about his defense just when you look at the team around him and how it's sort of bounced back at least a little bit lately.
It just started you're right.
So bad he can't really recover.
But okay, isn't he the type of player that regresses fast? Isn't he like that kind of player that relies on speed and grit?
You could make that argument that his playstyle won't age well. I would make the argument that that kind of doesn't matter because for the first few years of this contract, as the Rangers develop into a contender with Shesterkin and Panarin and all these guys, Kreider's going to be underpaid, like noticeably underpaid for the first 3-4 years of this deal until his regression.
Well, 3 years for sure. I mean, it's not a terrible deal, but I don't think it's good.
The Rangers, man, because I don't think they would have gotten enough for him as a rental. Honestly, they were asking for a lot, and teams didn't seem to be willing to give them that. What they were asking for was perfectly reasonable. If no one's going to give sign the guy.
I mean, he was only signed for this year, so I understand why teams wouldn't be able to give up that much.
Yeah, but he's a hell of a hockey player.
Yeah, but only for one season. I don't know if it's worth, like, a massive sort of deal.
Yeah. But I understand why teams weren't willing to trade for that, but the Rangers were definitely smart because the one thing that they had to avoid doing, in my opinion, is letting him walk for nothing. You can't just get nothing for a player of Chris Kreider's caliber. You either had to trade him or sign him, and they signed him.
Yeah, he is an unbelievable player for sure. So I don't think it's a particularly good deal. I could see it being okay, but it's like a really good deal.
Yeah, I think it's good since they got Panarin, that sort of accelerates their timeline, and I think this fits their accelerated timeline.
Yeah. I was mostly focused on the term there because
last couple years might get pretty bad, but by then the cap may be high enough that it isn't that big a deal.
Yeah, and that always has to be taken into account. We'll go back to the Leafs again. Another signing, Jake Muzzin. 4 years at, I believe it's 5.65 million, roughly.
Yeah, Muzzin's definitely a good player. He's not a great player.
He's a number two defenseman.
Yeah, I mean, I might call him a number three, but he's definitely in that area. He's a clear positive defender. Offensively, I think Muzzin shoots too much. I don't think Barry's the only Leafs.
He shoots a little bit too much, yeah, for sure.
But I don't think it's as problematic with Muzzin because at least you're not giving up defense for it. And actually, this year, I didn't even notice that. Muzzin's goals for impact this year has been really good. I don't really know what that's about. But goals for this year and last year have both been very good. 0.092, 0.088, solid. And then defensively, he's been a plus pretty much every year.
Yeah, so the thing is, I don't know if he'll be worth it in his fourth year because he's already pretty old, turning 31. But
the term's the issue, but you can't lose a guy like Jake Muzzin for nothing when your defense is as thin as the Leafs is.
I was just getting that. He is the only defender on the Leafs that is actually good in his own zone.
Yeah.
So
besides arguably Travis Sterner.
No, he's not good in his own zone, though. He just has neutral zone. He's unreal in the neutral zone.
He is.
Trust me, he's not good in his own zone.
Muzzin is a great in-zone defender. You know, you can rely on.
He's a guy you could put on against other teams' first lines and stop them. He played the Bergeron line last playoffs with freaking Nikita Zaitsev, and they shut him down.
To an extent.
No, they only score on the power play, really. Anyways, yeah, he's a player that is pretty much an all-around solid player. He has no, like, nothing that he's absolutely unbelievable at and nothing that he's terrible at. He's just great all-around player.
He's just probably the 60th best defenseman in the NHL, and that's very reasonable money for him, and the term's not ridiculous.
Yeah.
I cannot hate this for Toronto.
You can't hate it. There's no way you can hate it. I 100% believe he would have got a lot more in the open market. Just look at the
team probably gives him like a 6 year, $7 million a year deal, just knowing the way the market is.
Yeah, like teams would give him like $8 million times 6 years, honestly. And I don't even know. I hope I'm not exaggerating. Like, do you think that's actually a team would do that?
And you never know. It only takes one team to value him that much for him to get that contract.
Just look at Tyler Myers.
Exactly. No one else is going to pay Tyler Myers that, but Tyler Myers got paid that. It takes one team.
Yeah, so you can't hate this for Leafs. I don't think it's an excellent deal by any means. Like, I can't force myself to, like, jump up in excitement. Yeah,
it's not some cheer in the streets deal, but it is definitely a deal that the Leafs sort of had to make, and it's definitely not a bad one for them.
Yeah, because the Leafs' core is in its prime right now, and you can't waste that by trying out another player. I mean, I would personally try out another player, but that is also sort of a risky move. So that kind of changes things.
Muzzin's very respectable defense.
Yeah, like you don't want to be putting Sandin in the top four when he's not ready yet. That's a risky move.
Yeah, let him develop.
Yeah. Another important thing, I almost forgot to bring this up, but the Panthers' ownership apparently wants to shed about $10 million in cap space or something this summer. So yeah, I expect a ton of players to be leaving. Hoffman's definitely gone. Dadonov's up too, right? Yeah, Yandel could be gone. I don't know if they can get rid of that contract, though. It is pretty...
I don't know. Some team's probably going to value him a lot.
But...
he's a defenseman who puts up points.
If any team was really smart, they would offer sheet Mackenzie Weegar.
Oh, yeah.
And that is my dream for the offseason for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, if Dubas is on his money and Dubas is doing his research, he's going to go like, hey, wait, why is this Mackenzie Weegar kid have such good Corsi and XG impact? Let's offer sheet this guy.
Yeah, and then talking about an overrated player who has good Corsi impact but bad XG, we've already talked about him a little bit, but Tyson Barry, player who shoots way too much on the power play and at 5-on-5.
Barry's a problem for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So if you look at his RIPM, his Corsi 4, like relative to the rest of the league and all the other factors that goes into the model, is pretty well above average. But if you look at his expected goals for, is like pretty much nothing, like barely above average. And then his expected goals against is awful, like really bad, because he's terrible defensively. Yeah, I
mean, Barry, he earned a very deserved reputation in Colorado of being a soft player who you can kind of skate around in the when you're going on a rush against him. He's not going to defend you very well.
Yeah, well, his reputation in Colorado is definitely not what it is true to be. And just playing with MacKinnon and just playing on the power play with all those players, he never really deserved the praise he got, because he's just a player who shoots a lot, which drives Corsi up, but doesn't drive expected goals up. And expected goals are what you want, and creating high danger slot chances is what you want to win the game.
Yeah, and Barry kind of wastes possession.
He's not a player that does that at all. And honestly, this is like a hot take amongst most people, but to me, he's just a player that doesn't drive offense and is bad defensively. So, and sorry, mixed up my words here, but he's a player that also needs to be sheltered. And if you need to be sheltered, there's no way you're a top 4D unless you're putting up unbelievable underlying numbers, and he's not doing that at all. He's
definitely not doing that, yeah. I would have to agree with you there.
Yeah, and this is a sample, not just one season. This is like...
This is a multi-year
from year trend. To year, year to year. So...
Yeah, and just expanding more on Barry's game. Doesn't matter who you ask, no one will tell you that Tyson Barry's good defensively. The problem is that people will tell you he's good offensively, and he's an interesting case study for that because his 5-on-5 assist rates most years look really good. So it looks like he's creating this offense, but really it's more a fast-paced Colorado system gave him some assists, and then Toronto
has... Or a player you may call Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, I mean, having Nathan MacKinnon on your team will help with that as well. Barry did get a lot of ice time with MacKinnon in Colorado. So he's a good case study of why even looking at points rates for defensemen is not a good way to go. His points are not very indicative of how well a defenseman is driving the offense. Barry wastes a lot of offensive possessions with bad shots. He's not a strong offensive player. But if you looked at scoring rates, you'd think he was.
Exactly. Yeah, and people say, oh yeah, he's been producing since Sheldon Keefe came in. Well, yeah, he's playing with Austin Matthews, one of the best players in the world at finishing goals.
Yeah, there's talent around him. Defensemen are going to put up points in that system because they like to play this up-tempo type of hockey where their defensemen are stretch passing the puck and things like that. That doesn't make those defensemen good. It just means that you're a defenseman passing the puck to Austin Matthews and William Nylander and Mitch Marner and John Tavares.
Yeah, congrats. You made a pass that friggin' anyone can make.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he just is one of the most overrated players in the league and among a lot of Leaf fans. I've argued about this a lot, but, yeah, I've pretty much expressed my thoughts on him.
Leaf fans are kind of coming around on Barry not...
Yeah, well, some of them are, but a lot of them haven't really got to that. A lot of them... Everyone will note that he is bad defensively, but people will say he is good offensively. But I just... Bro,
like, even Steve Dangle, like, recognizes that he shoots too much.
Yeah, literally. And I think he
still
thinks...
Steve Dangle's the biggest Leafs homer on Earth.
I think he still thinks he's good offensively.
Maybe.
So, yeah, not everyone's quite there yet, but points are not a good evaluation defenseman. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, you really can't call that a proxy for any sort of actual offensive analysis of a defenseman.
Yes, and Jake Gardner and Morgan Riley are a lot better than this player, and they are not similar.
Yeah, like Riley's a legitimately very good offensive player. The defensive problems are real with Morgan Riley, but he's going to give you offensive value.
Yeah, he is a player that drives expected goals. Yeah. Barry does not do that.
Yeah, Morgan Riley drives offense. Morgan Riley's a legitimate offensive defenseman. Barry is just a defenseman who's bad defensively.
Exactly. So yeah, that we've covered all the trades. Is there anything else you'd like to know in terms of Tampa or any other team that is fun to note? Or?
I think we've sort of gotten through everything. Although if I just had to crown biggest winner of the trade deadline, I'm gonna say the Vegas Golden Knights because I really think that Robin Lehner acquisition is really important.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I think the Kings have done well in terms of looking at a team that's rebuilding. They've done pretty well. All
right, can we pick the biggest loser of the trade deadline?
The biggest loser, Florida.
I don't think it's Florida. I think the biggest loser is the New York Islanders.
Okay.
Pajot trade. Oh,
I think
man.
There are a lot of teams that have done terrible deals. So I'd say Anaheim, Islanders.
I think the Pajot trade's the worst one.
Okay, if you count the Pajot extension, then
yeah,
the Islanders.
The and they almost made that Andrew Ladd for Zach Parise trade. Damn, they were going to give up their entire financial future for below average Parise.
I thought he was still above average this year, no?
I mean, depends if you're looking at Gar or RPM, because Gar gives him a lot of power play credit that I'm not convinced he deserves, but anyway. And he's a bad Corsi defender, which isn't going to show up in Gar or RPM, but I think it's Minnesota's system inflating his XG defense.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I feel like he would help out the Islanders a little bit, like, this season, but after that, he's... He's done.
That contract, man.
Yeah, it's a pretty long one.
Yeah, I think Lou Lamoriello was on some drugs today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he's not with the Leafs anymore. Like, really glad after looking at what the Islanders have done.
Yeah, imagine if the Leafs had swung that Pageau trade today.
Ooh. You. Yeah, I think that's all we got for today, eh? Hey, Dom? Yeah. All right, a solid podcast, and we'll be back before you know it. Thanks.